in the wild again. And I feel right at home where I belong. I had that feeling coming over me again, just like it happened so many times before. The spirit of the woods is like an old good friend. Makes me feel warm and good inside. And I knew his name, and it was good to see him again. Cause in the wind he's still there.
Could only mean one thing.
And what could that be?
Finally, the hunting season is open. Yeah. I understand squirrel and all that crap, but no, real animals.
And for that, we are playing
the Halloween course. We're not standing, though. We messed up.
I'm sitting up straight.
1700s in England, I would have stood, but
I'm sitting up straight, so
okay.
That's as good as it gets this early in the morning.
Oh, Tony Sanders Outdoors is live from the banks of the beautiful Tennessee River on opening day of deer season in Tennessee. Yes, I know, Georgia Open. I don't care. I don't live in Georgia. Tennessee Open today.
It's all about us.
Stick strings and let them sling.
If it's brown, it's down.
There you go. That's the way it works. Along with those four or five that I almost ran over this morning coming in.
If you hit them with the car, they'd be a little bit tenderized, so, you know.
Yeah, good.
On the front end.
Good burger.
Good burger, yeah. True that.
We have guests that have snuck in on us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Amy Ray, and I'm the owner of the Sisterhood of the Outdoors.
Amy, good to see you again.
Thank you, Tony.
Hey, and this is a perfect example of, I was complaining about Facebook earlier, like 10 minutes ago, and I'm like, but this is a perfect example of Facebook working well, because we had posted at the DU event, Randy Waterhouse and I had posted some pictures up, and you sent him a text and say, hey, I want to be on the show. I've got a guest coming in. I want to be on the show this Saturday. And it's like, okay, let's do it.
It just works out.
It worked out great. So how are you doing?
Good to see you. We're doing great.
Everything well?
Very good. Georgia's had deer season open for a couple weeks.
I know. I don't live there, so it doesn't matter.
I know.
All right, and you have brought with you all the way from Wyoming, is that right?
Yes.
Welcome.
Chantain.
Who? I'm sorry?
Chantain.
Shan. All right.
Say it slow.
Chantain.
Chantain.
From Wyoming.
From Wyoming.
From Wyoming.
Awesome. Where
Chantain
in Wyoming?
From Wyoming.
Right.
What part of
Wyoming? Wrong. Where? What?
Northeastern Wyoming.
Northeast Wyoming. Oh, so that's okay. That's actually where I'm supposed to be going antelope hunting this year.
Like Devil's Tower area?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Not yeah. that I've been there, but yeah.
We're south of Devil's Tower, but yeah, that's the big tourist place there.
I'm trying to think where did I went to Cody. I was on the other end of the state. I'm trying to remember where I was out there. I was in Cody and a few other places in the northwest corner, but
yep.
You're from the northeast corner.
Northeast.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, actually, I was supposed to be heading out there in November, antelope hunting. I have never antelope hunted, and it just seems like such a challenge. Of course, I was talking to a guy last night, and he goes, you don't need to hunt them. They're all over. They're everywhere.
That's not true.
Okay, good. That
you
makes
do
me
need
feel
to
better.
Hunt them.
You do have to really work at it.
That's my specialty.
Okay, well, good. Now I'm definitely going then next year. I'm not going to make it this year, but I will go next year. Now, we were going to do a pheasant hunt in South Dakota and then do antelope in Wyoming, and then something came up, and I couldn't go, and the guys that are going with me decided to add elk on top of that. So they're doing elk, driving to South Dakota pheasant hunting, and then coming back and doing antelope hunting. Or I forgot exactly how the tags laid out, but I'm like, that's a sweet trip.
That's what our girls are doing.
Are they?
Yeah.
We have 5 ladies, including myself, will be sick, the 6th person, for a rifle with Shantae for a week.
Antelope hunting.
Antelope hunting. She has archery hunts for women and men, for that matter. And then we have a youth hunt that we've worked really hard to get grants from Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Mule Deer Foundation, some local organizations near the Gillette area to fully fund 4 youth, and they're getting to hunt antelope for 4 days for free. That's awesome.
That's beyond awesome.
Yeah, 3 girls from Georgia are going, 1 girl's from Vermont. They're between the ages of 12 and 18, and their parent gets to come with them, and Shantae's going to take them chasing speed goats every day, and their parents get to go along on the chase and take pictures and be there for the whole event.
I like that, speed goat.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that.
That would probably be a good way to describe them. I mean, I often joke, people talk about deer, and I'm like, they're nothing but wild goats. Okay, that's all they are. They eat like a goat. They act like a goat. They're just a goat.
Yeah, but these goats can go, what, 60-some-odd miles an hour, the fastest land animal in North America?
Yep.
And they don't even break a sweat?
No.
So what? All right. So what's the average distance you have to take a shot? Now, is your specialty archery?
Both. Archery and rifle.
So if because I, and that's one reason I want to go, is it's almost like long-distance shooting is the way I envision it. Is it not like, am I just really nuts?
Well, you can go long distance, but archery is 10 yards.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I had a friend of mine just actually got 2 antelope archery 2 weeks ago, I think. And I'm not sure exactly what part of Wyoming he was in. He was in Wyoming, I know that. But I don't know what part. But, yeah, he was posting on Facebook and stuff. Let's go to the phones and talk to Greg. Hey, Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Rob. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. How about yourself, sir?
Oh, doing great. Heading up to Teleco.
Oh, yeah. What do you? I assume you're going to be doing a little fishing up there, hopefully. Not.
We're going to get a little cheating and fishing with park rangers to do river shocking.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Yeah. This weekend, we're going to do the brook trout restoration.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Y'all are doing the brook trout up there with the shockers and everything.
Yes, sir.
Awesome, awesome. What time is everything going up there?
We'll start breakfast at about 8 o'clock or 8:15, and then at 9, we'll head up to the river. We're going to do Brookshire Creek and Bald River Creek this morning.
Awesome, awesome.
But I just thought I'd get you on the air. Everything going well with you, right?
Oh, it's going real well. Just wishing I had more time for fishing.
I understand that. I love it. I'm ready to go at any time except for work.
Yeah, that whole work thing's really cutting into our fun outdoor time, isn't it?
It's like old Dan Phillips always says, work's a four-letter word. I don't want to do it.
No, I know that feeling. I know that feeling. Hey, Greg, great to hear from you, sir.
All right, well, y'all have a good one now. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, all right, Greg. Sir. That was Greg Fairchild with Trout Unlimited, Appalachian Chapter 137 here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
So why aren't you going on that?
Because
you have bugged the heck out of me about going electroshocking a fish.
I've actually done the electroshocking up at the Teleco and stuff like that, and the small. I'm wanting to do electroshocking of big streams.
Okay.
Instead of seeing, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's great to see these hard work put in by Trout Unlimited and other conservation groups and see the work pay off in gorgeous brook trout. But I want to see something that's a little bit bigger, like, you know, some of those stripers that come out of the river occasionally.
So. Okay. Just checking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good deal. All right. So what brings you here from Wyoming when you should be out there hunting?
Vacation.
You take, whoa. You can't take vacation in hunting season?
Well, I don't have any hunters right now.
Okay.
Well, we can solve that.
Let's go.
Absolutely.
They're on the next plane with you.
Yeah.
All right, how much patience do you have? Because you're talking to a fisherman here, so.
I have a lot of patience.
Okay. How much, what tackle should I bring to catch an antelope?
Barbless hooks.
Okay. Can do, will do.
Okay.
All right.
So would you go out with a gun or would you go out with a bow? Because I've seen you shoot a bow. Can you do crossbows out there?
Yes.
They let them?
Hmm. That's a real good question. Probably a gun. Probably. Just because I could put a little more distance between, you know, not have to be as close. I mean, you know, I'm comfortable at a certain yardage with bow, and I'm comfortable at a certain yardage with gun, and I think I'd be a little bit more comfortable with a gun. That's just me, but.
Right, and I went out bow hunting elk in Colorado, and while I really love the challenge, it's like, that's a lot of money to spend and limit yourself to, you know, of course, out there, you can't, in Colorado, you can't even use a crossbow, or at least you couldn't then. I don't know if you can now or not, but you couldn't then. So you're limiting yourself to 50 yards. And I was very comfortable at 50 yards, maybe 60, but I've been a lot more comfortable at 300. So it's like, I think next time I'll do a gun just to give me more options.
We do both.
How do you get close to an antelope? Close enough with a bow?
I mean,
good Lord.
Very, very quietly.
Oh, we hunt over water holes, typically.
Okay.
And we do some spot and stalk. You just ready, set, go.
Yeah. Ready, set, go.
Oh. I can't give all my secrets away, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
I don't like ready, set, go. I like prepare.
You know, not with antelope. It's ready, set, go.
No.
They're herd animals. They run really fast once they're on to you.
It is
ready, set, go.
I have seen them just, you know, I've been out in that area, and we've been driving along, and, you know, we're going down the interstate, and I look over to the right, and there's like a pronghorn keeping up with us, and I'm just looking at these things going, wow, they are quick.
Well, we did a bow hunt or a hunter education class last Sunday, and the guy that was doing the archery part was talking about it takes like 1.1 seconds for your arrow to cover 30 yards, and a deer's reaction time is 0.3 seconds. And I think an antelope would almost have to be quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so skittish. Now, I think it would be cool. And my friend took two with his bow, which was impressive. But he had to hunt 5 days to get them. And then I think he got them like on the fourth day and the fifth day.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to go pay a bill, and we'll be right back.
Leaves are turning. There's a chill in the air. Campfires are burning. We're gathered round in chairs. Three generations of hunting in our veins, talking about what might happen on opening day.
9, noon, 3, and 6. The times we give the cue to call for a chance to win $1,000. Four times a day on Talk Radio 102.3 FM, The Talk Monster.
Are you a member of the National Rifle Association? If not, why? No other organization in this country fights for your rights like the NRA. In the current environment, our rights under the Second Amendment are being attacked every day. While we in the South may feel comfortable, that is not the case all across America. The NRA is taking up the fight for you, and you need to be a part. Join the over 5 million men, women, and children who are members of the NRA. Go to TonySandersOutdoors.com and click on the Join NRA link. Don't wait too late.
Your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Fever.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors. I'm kind of excited about this show. Came together really quick. I mean, literally, as you heard a few minutes ago, we were sitting at the DU banquet on Thursday evening, and I met you, Amy, I guess, at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation dinner back in
the
May
banquet.
Or June, whenever it was. And we have a lot of women that listen, a lot more than, and this is a whole talk radio thing. They like to say, well, women don't listen to talk radio, and we have always said here locally, yes, they do.
I do.
We hear it. We talk to them. We know. And one of the things when I started this show 10 years ago was, and I've always been involved with youth anyway, but getting out, getting people just outdoors and doing things. And so I think what you're doing at the Sisterhood of the Outdoors is a great thing. And so I was excited and actually didn't expect it during hunting season. I mean, really, literally, when I roll into hunting season, I don't expect to talk to a lot of hunters. So I'm glad you're on vacation, and I'm glad you...
Not in the woods.
Not in the woods today.
I filled a tag.
Already? Oh, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. So tell everybody about the Sisterhood Outdoors, because I think this is a great way... couple things. I think it's a great way for ladies who are looking to get involved. I think it's a great thing to for a guy to introduce his significant other to your group. So they, because as every guy will tell you, if I try to teach my spouse how to do something, it's a nightmare. If someone else tries to teach her, it works.
You're right.
It's just part of it. That when you get married, you quit talking to each other and you quit listening to each other, and it works out that you can't communicate anymore. So this solves that problem. You guys can introduce somebody to the outdoors, and I think that's a great thing to do.
We do. We feel like no one learns to hunt on their own, and that's just the truth, whether you're a guy or a girl. And we've been around since 2010. We were formerly the Babes, Bullets, and Broadheads, and I purchased the company from my friends a few years back and reinvented it as the Sister to the Outdoors with the same model, which is we have field staff all over the U.S. who are licensed guides, champion callers, weekend warriors, ladies who have their own hunting property, ladies who hunt public land, rifle, archery, lots of different diversity, all ages, and they're all willing to mentor, host, and take women hunting. So we negotiate with outfitters. We put together what we call hunting events, because we make it more like a slumber party on steroids than just a hunt.
I like that.
And we make friends for life. And I think what I have discovered through surveying guests, talking to ladies at the trade shows and the Cabela's events and store events that we do locally all over the U.S., they just want to hang out with other women. They want that friendship and they want that camaraderie. You guys have had it forever. If you've ever realized how much you enjoy hunting camp and being with your friends and look forward to it all year, we're exactly the same. Hunting is gender neutral to me. I mean, it's like, it's enjoyable. It doesn't matter if you're a girl or boy, you can shoot the gun. So we just want to teach more women and get them out there. And our hunts are reasonable. We kind of know that women need to be home with their kids. They need to do baseball seasons. They may not get an entire week off to do a girls trip. So we try to do a lot of 4-day, 5-day events.
Right.
Straddle a weekend. So I'm constantly looking for those types of dates. And we have some big game hunts that are over a couple $1,000s, but we also have some $1,000 big Kentucky deer hunts. I mean, the rates are great. But we hunt turkey, deer, duck, goose. We do bow fishing. We do fly fishing. We do summer pack trips out in Cody, Wyoming. We do a cow elk pack trip, which I do every year. It's my favorite hunt.
So how did you get this started?
Hunting myself?
Yeah.
Well, I was an outdoor girl growing up. My father was always taking me camping. We lived on a horse farm. We boated, skied, anything outdoors I was very interested in, but he never took me hunting. But he hunted a lot, and it was just not his thing to take his family with him. He went with his friends and his coworkers. And I, you know, always was excited to hear about daddy's stories, and my granddaddy was a hunter. I ate a lot of wild game growing up, and I had a wonderful husband raising my kids, and he passed away of cancer. So I was single for 3 years and got back in the dating scene, and I met my husband, Scott, who's an avid outdoorsman, and loved him to death, and came real clear early on that if I didn't go to deer camp, I wasn't going to see him. So I was real interested in seeing what that was about, and I was hooked, and I don't normally do things kind of slowly. I jump in head first and go all in. But he's been my mentor, my teacher, bought my first gun, took me to shoot my first deer. And he actually bought me my first trip with the girls. He sent me duck hunting in Arkansas, and I was like 40 years old. I'm driving 8 hours to Arkansas to hunt with women I've never met before. I think I had a Remington 877 shotgun pump that bought that week and blew a few clays up in the yard, and he sent me out there, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But I met these women, and I was just like hooked. I said... And it rained ducks. We limited out 6 girls in 4 hours, and my arm was hurt, and I was out of shells. And my husband was like, what? You know, he's
now
like,
he's envious, right?
He goes, that'll never happen again. That was like, yeah, that's your first duck hunt. You're ruined. And he was right.
Yep.
I've since had duck hunts where the ducks didn't fly.
Right.
And I still enjoy it.
Sure.
But the camaraderie, being in the lodge, cooking together, campfire time, you know, I went scouting every day with the guides because I just had to go see the land and go experience all of it. So
there, and what
I started booking trips with the girls after that, and then I bought the company.
And so. I think what you just said, and I think so many people miss this that are not hunters or whatever. It's not the kill. The kill is never.
That's when the work starts.
Well, but it's not. Yeah, it's there's so much more to the hunt than the harvest. So much more, and until you've done that, I don't think you understand that.
Absolutely.
So, how did you get into hunting? I mean, all right, and you're a guide in Wyoming for, according to the website, antelope, elk, turkey, and deer.
Yes.
Y'all have deer in Wyoming?
Yeah.
Mule deer.
Yeah. Well, there's whitetail as well.
Are there? There are not many, are there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I always hear the mule. I never hear the whitetails.
Yeah, the rivers and the creek bottoms. Yeah, there's whitetails. There's big whitetails in Wyoming. Mule deer is the best, though.
I'm going hunting with her.
You are?
Come on. Yeah, yeah, let's do it.
Now you have a friend in Wyoming who's a guide.
This is making my day, I'm telling you.
It's my favorite thing to do.
So how did you get into hunting?
My dad grew up hunting, but I didn't do it much until I was probably in my 20s and 30s. And then started hunting with husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really just about how big it was. Then I wanted to archery hunt, and I don't elk hunting is really, really tough, and I just felt like I was always left behind. So I thought antelope was my only option for success.
Okay.
So I found a place to set up a blind and did it all on my own because my husband at the time had no interest in antelope hunting. So I'm a self-taught antelope hunter, and it just grew from there. And for me, it is about the story at the end of the day. And I have drug friends to sit and blind with me hours. And it's just grown into, it's what we do.
And you are, you're a guide, a licensed guide, which you said you can't guide anybody in Wyoming without being a licensed guide. So you are a guide in Wyoming, and people can actually book and come out there and hunt, and you'll teach them how.
Yes.
To antelope or
a
elk,
great adventure and a great story to tell. That's what you need
that's
to do.
What it's
book
all
a hunt,
about.
Book
that's
a hunt with the girls, the sisterhood of the outdoors, and yeah.
See, I got to make real quick friends with her because some friends have brought me some antelope patches,
mm-hmm.
and I've gotten some antelope meat as well, which is very good. But I'm more interested in the hair because it's hollow, and it makes really good dry flies. So I get in good with my. Yep. I used to have to get in good with my deer hunting buddies, but now that I actually deer hunt, I can get my own. But some of the more, I guess what I'm going to say is non-Tennessee indigenous exotic western species like elk and mule deer, I've got to get in good with people to get fly tying materials. So.
Now you have connections.
I've got a connection, so I'm all set. Mm-hmm. I'm all set. Except the only problem is, can I stay with you on my way to the other side of the state? Because that's where I fish is the other way. So
you can go out there and elk. I mean, an antelope and elk hunt. Get your own fuzzies for your flies.
Yeah.
And then drive over and hunt.
Get my own fuzzy stuff to wrap around a hook.
Yep. Y'all have turkey in Wyoming, too?
Yep.
Wow.
Merriam's.
Obviously, I don't know much about...
Turkey?
Wyoming.
I know. You just don't associate Wyoming with turkey. I mean,
no,
or at least I don't.
But I need a Merriam in my North American group.
Oh, for the World Slam or the North American Slam?
Yeah. Hey, there we go.
You better start checking some dates for next year, it sounds like to me.
Yeah. That and borrowing money. Gene, let's go pay a bill. And when we come back, we are going to continue talking about hunting, and you can call in and talk about hunting since this is opening day, and I know several of you are on the way other than our buddy Jimmy who said, 70 degrees, I'm not going.
Honestly, I don't blame it, but
we'll be right back. Tony Sanders Outdoors.
I'll say when, hold on, y'all wait. Get them boys, boom, 12 gauge out in the mud down in Mississippi.
Hey, get everything you need for your hunting season at Sportsman's Warehouse. Guns, optics, tree stands, camo gear, Anything you need for this coming hunting season can be found at Sportsman's Warehouse. If you don't see what you need on the shelves, which is highly unlikely, go to sportsmanswarehouse.com and have it shipped directly to the store. And I am talking about guns. They have thousands on the shelves. They have over 7,000 on their website. Don't forget to sign up and register for Sportsman's Warehouse loyalty card. This will give you points towards gift cards and special discounts, as well as informing you of your upcoming promotions that they have at your Chattanooga Sportsman's Warehouse. Be sure to like them on Facebook for special events and live videos. Sportsman's Warehouse, the perfect place to shop for the outdoor person in your life.
Talk Radio 102.3.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been itching, she's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. Honey, you ain't gonna like it, 'cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors. I was trying to decide whether to have Gene not play this today as a sexist pig comment, but hey, Gene's on the other side of the glass and he did it anyway, so. We're having fun. I don't know about you guys, and if you're not, then deal with it. We have from the Sisterhood of the Outdoors, Amy Ray, who is local.
Yes.
And Shantine, I'm not going to say your last name. No, I did fairly good. I'm not going to try it. Who is actually a guide in Wyoming for elk, mule deer, turkey, antelope, speed goats. And you've got guides, Amy, everywhere, right?
Around. Yeah, we have different guides all across the U.S., waterfowl, deer, I mean, big game. So, and if we don't have a guide that's a lady that's on our staff, when we go to an outfitter, we send a staff member on the hunt, and we call them the host.
Right.
And they're there. What we find with new hunters is we want them to be prepared. So we spend a lot of time before the hunt, even a year, on a private Facebook page telling our hunters what they want to, women want to know, what are you wearing? It's just like we're going out on a New Year's Eve party. Seriously, what kind of boots are you going to wear? What kind of shirt are you going to wear? What kind of jacket do you wear? How cold is it? And we answer all their questions. We do the licensing, make sure their permits are correct. They will ask questions about, you know, trophy size on deer. Is it 4 points or better on one side? Is it, you know, 4.5 years old? I mean, we go places where we have to teach them, and that with the along with the archery equipment or the guns, we zero our guns at 200 for out west. If you're hunting in Georgia or Kentucky, I'll say, oh, well, you zeroed at 50 or 100, you're probably good. But we have to do a lot of training and teaching, and that's what's so good about Sisterhood is our hunters are prepared. The outfitters don't get their phones blown up with a lot of questions, and then our ladies are not intimidated about going off on their own, you know, halfway across the U.S. or 8 hours from home to spend money to go on a hunt, and then we improve their success rate.
You know, that brings up a good question. So it's the Sisterhood is more of a, and I don't think I want to go there. But
kind of like an outlet for information.
Yeah, I mean
it is.
But so that brings up a question. In your pursuit, in yours also, Shantine, when you first started hunting, you were hunting with spouses, I think is what you guys said,
yes.
How you started. But did you feel like the odd person out all the time? And whereas what it sounds like you're trying to do is to take the mystique of hunting away and make women more comfortable about what they're trying to do.
Well, I think you're always scared of the unknown, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A new hunter.
Ask the right questions.
Right. And, I mean, I was lucky that our deer camp, which is South Georgia deer camp, my husband and his family have been involved in it for 35 years, and I was welcomed because they let family members hunt the members' tags. So, like, Tony, if you bought a membership in our club, you would get 2 buck tags, 2 doe tags in Georgia for our properties, and you could share those amongst your family. And then children in school and college, even up to they graduate from college, can come to our hunt or our club and hunt. So there was other wives in camp. There was other wives who hunted. None of them maybe at the level that I do or that I took it to, but every now and then they go out and you know, give it a shot or sit in a stand just to see, because everybody loves a wildlife encounter and quiet time in the woods and not necessarily wanting to actually shoot something.
Sure.
So I didn't feel that, but I do think what happened is once I wanted to learn more and hunt more, the sisterhood opened up opportunities to me, and we get this all the time. The guys are jealous. Like, my husband's like, I want to wear a wig and go with you because you've negotiated such a great hunt.
He's going to regret you said that.
I've got pictures of other husbands in wigs on my Facebook page. They have tried. Yeah.
I can say that. Mrs. Pertula?
Yes.
Yes. Can I go on your own?
Well, I mean, it makes sense as kind of like a repository for information, because I had, you know, still being fairly new to a lot of the hunting, Tony saw my pack the first time I went deer hunting. It weighed more than the deer I shot.
Yeah.
And I brought...
Live
I didn't
and
know,
learn?
I didn't know what to... And now my pack, I've got like four things in it. I'm streamlined, but it's taken the time. And had I had a, like I said, a repository of information where I could call, do I need this?
Yeah.
Do I need that? Do I, you know?
And of course, everything on the internet is correct.
Yeah, it's true. Everything on Facebook is true.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
We have women who I've gotten calls from that are in the sustainable eating movement that have never been in the outdoors, and they live in Atlanta or, you know, a big city somewhere, and they're really trying to learn to do sustainable hunting, and they'll call us. So I have to take her from baby steps. I mean, go get your hunter safety course. Go pick up a copy of your regs. Go buy a license. And there's been years, every year, myself and Shantane and even some of the other girls in our group, I probably take two or three new hunters a year that are never hunted. And whether it's youth or an adult, I do that, and I enjoy it. And being there for someone's first shot is such an adrenaline rush. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's insane how much we enjoy that passion.
Well, you know, even, you know, Rob was talking about, and I remember, and having been in hunter education and gotten a lot of youth involved, and I'm so excited. My grandson just turned 7 yesterday, and it's like, okay, now we're there. We're ready to start. And I've been introducing him to things here and there, but now it's like, matter of fact, I was shopping for camo for him the other day, and I was like, I can't wait to take him out there. But I remember when Rob got his first deer, and it was a deer. When you think about, and I can't remember who said it, it's not big enough. I don't remember which one was saying it's not big enough or whatever. In Rob's first deer would be a throwaway deer for most people.
Right.
But to watch him transition through the emotions of taking that first deer, it was really kind of cool to watch, because he was there. There were three of us there. Two of us were very seasoned hunters. And matter of fact, I had just gotten my 10-point, or
like 2 weeks before you had gotten a huge 10-point.
So I had just gotten my 10-point in the same stand. He was in my stand where he was hunting, and but to watch him in the whole transition from the first, I guess, 10 minutes when I got back over to where he was after he called me and said he had one down, but just to watch the emotions of that, taking that deer, and then. Is like then reality setting in. Okay, now we got to work it up and all that stuff. But it was just so cool to watch, and I've got a good friend of mine, which you may know, Don Osey from National Wild Turkey Federation. He told me he got his world slam on turkeys 4 or 5 years ago, and he told me we were out hunting. He actually got me my first turkey, and we were out. He said, I don't care if I ever pull the trigger or not. I don't care.
My husband's that way. Guide in turkeys. He loves turkey hunting. But he would just soon take everybody else than shoot one himself.
Well, we've grown to that. That's what the sisterhood is now. I mean, we started
the running
years ago, us hunting together, the girls doing the girl stuff, and now we have one of the ladies just brought her husband and her daughter to hunt with me, got her first antelope. So it's kind of grown into now family events and the girls bringing their husbands and the girls bringing their kids. And so now we're getting to, not only do I get to get the kids or the ladies their first antelope, now it's husbands and now it's their kids. So that just kind of proves, I mean, that's who we are, that's what we do.
We have
more about just us hunting and us going out hunting together. It's about the story, it's about the family, it's about the journey to become the sisterhood of the outdoors. I mean, that's who we are.
We have been collecting some metrics on our business. for the last few years since I transitioned from Babes, Bulls, and Broadheads to the Sisterhood of the Outdoors. Because I was like, we're on to something. I just got to figure out how to put it into paper and numbers for people. And one of the coolest things that I discovered through doing that business process was that like 99% of the people we've surveyed over the years at trade shows and in person at events, women say they want to be with other women, like-minded women. So they want a camaraderie. That's why we built the membership program. And then the second thing was that 63% of our hunters are on their very first guided hunt. That doesn't mean they're new hunters per se, but like they finally decided to go spend some money, leave town, and go try something different than just their same property or farm or hunting club. So that's really cool. And 90% of those women go back to those outfitters or recommend them. So we're good for business.
Sounds like a win-win-win.
They go home and tell their husbands about it, and they bring their family back. It's pretty simple.
Definitely sounds like a win-win. Awesome. All right, we're going to go pay the bill. We'll be right back.
If I can make a living from walking in the woods, you can bet I'd be sitting pretty good, high on a hill, looking at a field downwind. If I can make a nickel off of turning in bands, never worry about the price of gas. I've been wheeling and dealing and sitting there reeling them in. Hunting, fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting and fishing, loving.
Want to talk? This is the place. Not the passive medium. This is the one that reacts and interacts. This is Talk Radio 102.3 FM. WGOW.com. The Talk Monster.
I've been telling you for years to go see my friend and insurance agent, Rodney Allen, for your insurance needs. Rodney has been handling my family insurance requirements for 15 years. He can also handle other aspects of your financial life as well. Do you need a mortgage, car loan, financial accounts, whatever you need? All this can be set up with Rodney with State Farm Insurance. Call Rodney at 423-847-3881 and schedule an appointment at his office or your home to discuss your financial and insurance requirements. That's State Farm Agent Rodney Allen, 423-847-3881.
Squirrel and rabbit in Dallas County knew my name. I sat on the stand with Paw from the time I was 3 years old. When I was eight, I used a muzzle loader to kill my first doe.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors. Hanging out with the sisterhood today.
Classic. I'm having fun. Man, we're getting some great conversation off the air, too.
It's the classiest show we've had in a long time, so thank you so much for classing up our show.
Oh, you're welcome.
We, you know, it's kind of interesting, and I've been involved as a hunter education instructor. I'm in my 25th year, I think, something like that. And I've done two things that have just shocked me, and probably the coolest thing I've done in all of these years of teaching is we did a thing with American Heritage Girls. Was it last year or 2 years? I guess it was two years ago. 2 years ago. We had 87 girls at my club from the ages of 5 or 6 to about 15. And we had, Rob was teaching them about fishing. We had Don Osie, who is one of only three people that's got the World Slam in this area, was teaching them about turkey hunting. And you know, when you got somebody with that kind of experience teaching somebody about something, it's really kind of cool. We had all kinds of other people there teaching, all girls. It was 100% girls, and they're mostly their moms. There were some dads there, and dads were just like, you know, this is so cool. But I mean, it just, it was a great thing to do, to watch these girls and introduce them to something. And I think it was so much fun. I had, it was one of the best things I've ever done. It really was. And love to do it again. So
what happens after they take your class is then they come book a hunt with us.
There you go. And that's what it,
because there's so many great outdoor teaching things going on, the women in the outdoors, right, which I spoke at last week in Georgia, becoming an outdoor woman. There's now a new one, the American Daughters of Conservation. So there's a lot more women teaching about the outdoors with these clinics like you're talking about. It's awesome. We participate in a lot of those, but what's really cool is when they finish that and then they can actually go and we actually take you hunting.
Well, and it gives them the confidence. I think that's why ladies and girls don't do, and it does create a lot of confidence for little girls.
Yep.
To have the knowledge to be able to have conversation and know what the outdoors is about.
All right. First hour's in the can. Gosh, it goes quick. Go get some coffee, something to eat, whatever you got to do, and we'll be back in about 7 minutes to continue this conversation on the Sisterhood of the Outdoors. May even wrap up the duck banquet, which was phenomenally good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Thanks, Gino. We'll be back in a minute.
If there ever was a time we need them, I'd say it'd be today. When we're